Good morning. It's good to see you here this day on this snowy November morning. More snow than I expected to see outside, but I'm glad that all of you were able to make it here this morning. Special welcome back to Marilyn Glover as our organist. Marilyn's been away. It's good to have you back, Marilyn. And special welcome to you. And if you're visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. And I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin today the calendar for this week. And the diaconate is meeting after the service today. On Tuesday, our lunchtime Bible study will continue its study of Jesus' parables. And the evening discussion group, the topic changes every week, and a few people have asked. And I will try, now that I'm back from vacation, I'll be trying to put the theme in each Sunday's bulletin so that you can know what we'll be talking about. I can give you a handout on Sunday if you're interested in attending the Thursday night discussion group. We have some lively discussions. It's a small group. We'd love to have more people attend. And that's Tuesday evening at 7. Some other announcements. You'll see on the back page of the bulletin the annual International Dinner for Refugee Immigration Ministries Moonlight Dinner Cruise is November 9th. And there's information there if you would like to attend. If you have any questions, I'd suggest seeing Marilyn Glover after the service today. Also, a couple other announcements. We've been having our measurement of our receipts and gifts to the World Mission Offering, and we received $500 toward our goal of $800. So we're a little behind in that annual offering. Also, the American Baptist Women's Ministries has their White Cross request for this year, and there are some very small items, on the tangible items that need to be purchased, that we're looking for people to sign up to provide those things, as well as we're looking for cash donations that are going to go towards providing Bibles that have already been, Arabic Bibles that have already been purchased, and to reimburse that, as well as some other cash donations that are needed as part of the White Cross request. So this will be on the desk in Judson Chapel during coffee hour if you'd like to sign up and bring those items in. That would be wonderful. Also, on Saturday, November 22nd, the Judson women will be having their Toy Harvest, is what I want to call it. American Baptist, yes, Women's Ministries Toy Harvest, where they are collecting toys to be given away to children this Christmas time. And so those toys will need to be brought in by Sunday the 16th. And this poster has been on the bulletin board, and we'll go back on the bulletin board if you have any questions about that. So at this time, our moderator, Lisa Jacobson, has an announcement which she'd like to make.
I'm going to ask Martha to come down. Yesterday was a significant anniversary in the history of our church. Reverend Martha Dominey began her ministry among us 25 years ago when she was called as associate pastor. Now, some of us here were probably not even born yet, but many of us were here to welcome Martha to our church family, including me, and I'm very proud to say that I was on the original search committee. 1989 was the year that Ronald Reagan ended his presidency and George Herbert Walker Bush began his. It was the year that marked the end of the Cold War and the tear down of the Berlin Wall. It was the year that 11 million barrels of crude oil was spilled in Alaska's Prince William Sound when the Exxon Valdez ran aground. And at the office, I was still using a typewriter. In her 25 years with us, Martha has celebrated through baby dedications, baptisms, weddings, and other happy events. She's mourned with us through painful losses, counseled us through times of turmoil. She's been our spiritual leader and a teacher. She's done everything from wash dishes, mopping up floors, plunging toilets when needed. She's our pastor and she's our friend, and today we celebrate her 25 years with us, and we offer her a token of our appreciation. The deacons have also provided a cake for coffee hour, And I hope that you'll be able to say and congratulate Martha and enjoy some cake. Certificate of appreciation. Dave has something for you from the deacons.
I'm going to try and do, please be seated. I hadn't even looked up. Please be seated. I think I can maybe do these two things at once as far as opening and talking. When you hear about what was going on in history 25 years ago, it sounds so long ago.
I know.
But I was also thinking yesterday about what I was doing in 1989, and I earned my second master's degree, my Master of Divinity. After that, in June, I interviewed at several different churches and was waiting for a call. And doing a lot of praying that summer. And finally, after I interviewed here, and I interviewed a couple other spots after this, I kept calling and saying, well, I'm in the running, or do I need to, consider some other church? I believe it was Paul Patry called and said, yes, we would like you to come and candidate. So I interviewed in August, candidated here in September, moved here the end of October, and I know I went to my parents' house for a few days to celebrate my father's birthday at the end of October, and I came back and started November 1st, and it's been a long ride, but it's been interesting too. Ooh, very pretty. Beautiful watch. You notice I haven't been wearing one lately, so thank you.
It's very appropriate to celebrate time.
True, true. Very, very nice. Thank you.
Okay, I will bring this back for you. We'll get the roses in the water.
Coffee hour.
Great.
Thank you very much. Yes, I've been on staff 25 years. I've been pastor a little over 17, senior pastor. So thank you very much, and thank you for this recognition. Very unexpected. So as we continue in worship, on this All Saints Sunday, we gather together to remember. Very appropriate. We remember those who are no longer with us in body, but in spirit, and it is present to feel palpable their experience and their spirit with us in our memories that as we have shared in their pews. Come, let us worship and praise God in memory of those saints of the faith we this day recall. Our opening hymn is Sing with All the Saints of Glory, number 666. We'll be singing verses 1 and 4 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Eternal God, you gather all your people as one in the body of Christ. Unite us with all the people of every time and place who have lived by your word and died in your love. Reassure us when we grieve that our loved ones are not lost to you. Prepare us for the day when we too join the grand celebration of life everlasting. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and now join in the prayer that he's taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Since I don't see any children, young children here, I'm going to invite any teachers or students who may be sitting farther back, if you're leaving for Sunday school, to do that at this time, and then we'll move into our moments of prayer. Okay, no one's moving, so it's good. So let's move into our moments of prayer. We have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with our church family members as we go to God in prayer. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who's at home today, with Sister Dorothy, and I know I'm still looking for some health aides to come in and provide that. So we want to keep Lucille and Dorothy and Lana in prayer today. Also, we want to continue to remember Irene Hoffman. Irene's not here today, and I don't know exactly if she's feeling a little better or the weather, but we want to continue to remember Irene. Irene's been sick for, I believe, 7 weeks now. So we want to keep Irene Hoffman in prayer. Also, I received a call last night regarding Karen Quinn, who moved to Texas this summer. Karen had carotid artery surgery on Thursday and is home now and doing very well, but did ask that, you know, we will be remembering her in prayer today. And a celebration, we want to celebrate the 3-month wedding anniversary of Christina and John Nowak, who are here today worshiping with us. So it's nice to have Christina and John with us. And if you haven't had a chance to see them before the service, you make sure that afterwards you get a chance to greet them. Also, we obviously want to remember our election process that's taking place on Tuesday, and praying that we may make wise decisions in the people that we select and the ballot questions and how we answer those questions. And also, we also want to keep in memory and prayer the city of Boston and the Menino family as we remember former Mayor Thomas Menino, who passed away this week. Do you have any requests for prayer that you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Sharon. Okay, Sharon's having some medical tests and has asked for prayers from us, so we'll keep Sharon in prayer today for medical tests. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming here this day to worship you, to be a part of this body of Christ. Some of us may have traveled greater distances than others. Some may have only traveled here while it was still raining this morning, and others came through the snow to be here, to worship you. Lord, we thank you for these moments that we're able to spend in prayer and conversation with you. Lord, continue to remind us that prayer is not a one-way communication, but it's a two-way dialogue. That as we speak to you, we also need to open our hearts and our ears to listen to you. Lord, we thank you that we can come here, that we know that you are not just here, but there is power in knowing that everyone here is in prayer together. It's so different than praying alone at home in private. We thank you, Lord, that you do hear all of our prayers. We don't understand how that's possible because it's beyond our human understanding. We thank you that we can converse with you, that you are a personal God. You are not remote and uncaring, but that you love us and want the best for us. Lord, this day we lift up those who are ill and injured and pray for healing according to your will in their lives. We also pray, oh God, for those who are in danger today. They're in dangerous situations, and just pray that your Spirit may bring calmness and allay some fears that they may have. Lord, we pray for our election process, and as most of us are weary from hearing all the political advertisements, we pray that we may make wise decisions when we go to the polls on Tuesday, that we may choose who we believe is the best candidate for each job that's open, that we may make wise decisions as we answer the ballot questions, that it may move our Commonwealth forward in productive ways. We're so grateful that we have a democratic process, that we have a voice in who our leadership is and how things are run. Lord, we just pray that we may continue and take advantage of the right that we have and the privilege we have of voting on Tuesday. We also pray, O God, for the city of Boston today and especially the neighborhoods that were touched by Mayor Menino, and we pray for the Menino family today and all of those former staff members and friends and families and those who were not famous but were touched in some way, directly or indirectly, by this mayor for 20 years. Just, Lord, we just pray for them that they may find comfort and peace in their time of mourning. And, Lord, on this All Saints weekend, we do look back and remember the saints who have brought our community to this time and place. We remember our spiritual parents and grandparents. Also, as people of faith, we not only look back and remember their work and impact, but we also look forward. We look forward to the reward in which they already share. We look forward to the tomorrow in which death and crying will be no more. We look forward to the fulfillment of your promises for us. On this day, we honor the saints. We pray for your loving presence to be felt by us who are gathered here. We pray especially that your presence may be felt by those who are not able to be here in body because of life's struggles. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this first Sunday of the month, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper as part of our worship service, we receive two different offerings. This first offering that we are about to receive goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us and help us to be wise stewards of all of your blessings to us as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, ministering to others in his name. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 20, and I'm going to extend that a little bit farther, a few more verses through 36 this morning. We'll begin at verse 20 of chapter 6 in Gospel of Luke. If you'd like to follow along, that's found on page 59 in the back section of the Pew Bible. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is greater in heaven, for that is what your ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you who, when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, but merciful just as your Father is merciful. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Jesus, they sound easy to hear. But we know that when we try to put them into practice, we find them so challenging. And Lord, we hear the words that we're perhaps more familiar with in the Gospel of Matthew, the Beatitudes. But here Luke uses these same words, and he has them addressed directly to Jesus' closest followers. Lord, we yearn to be a close follower of Jesus as well. Help us to hear his words, and help us to obey his words and his instructions. May these moments together, Lord, be an opportunity for us to have a greater appreciation and understanding of what Christ has for us to do here on this earth. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. In recent days, we have witnessed children, youth, and adults dressed in costumes for Halloween festivities. And some of these were scary, while others were funny, and many felt somewhere in between on that continuum. Within the Christian church, this is an important weekend when those who follow the calendar of the church are observing All Saints' Day yesterday and All Souls' Day today, or perhaps a combination of the two on this first Sunday in November. Halloween is filled with images of ghosts and goblins, while our All Saints and All Souls days, we envision saints and angels and heavenly hosts. But deep down, we know that sainthood does not begin with flowing robes and glowing halos, although by tradition, it's evolved into that imagery. Saints are people who keep the faith when it is not easy or expedient or even safe to do so. Disciples may be easy to find in pews on Sunday mornings, but much more sparse in times of religious persecution and spirit-breaking hardship. The life of a saint is one of blessings and woes. For a saint is someone who lives by faith despite the heartaches and hurdles of life's journey. Saints remain unwavering when joyous, easier times tempt faith to ebb and spiritual disciplines to wane. Luke's account of the blessings and woes of the Beatitudes reads like a primer, one of those early lesson books for those seeking God's kingdom. Luke clearly states that Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples, not some crowd but to his followers, those who have already made somewhat of a commitment to following him. It's especially for those who have little more than their faith and devotion to help them in their quest for redemption. Those who know that they need God are those who understand that life is not meant to be lived spiritually solo. It doesn't say that Jesus spoke to one of the disciples. He spoke to a group of them and gave those blessings and woes, for he knew that following him could not be done alone. In his listing of woes, Jesus calls out to those who do not know what it is that they lack. Those who do not know that they are never truly fulfilled without being filled by Christ's Spirit. They may not realize the unidentified emptiness that they have masked with feel-good consolations. I recall listening to a missionary speaker many years ago who was a native of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He said that he was dismayed at the large homes and elaborate gardens that he rode past in his visit to the United States. And I remember him saying these words: "It must be very difficult to minister to people such as these." He saw the wealth of our cities and towns and knew that riches can mask spiritual need with temporary comfort. The blessings of God are a gift for which we pay no price. That is why both Christ's atoning sacrifice and God's mysterious wonders are considered acts of grace, unmerited and unconditional love. God's love is freely given, but it can be a costly thing for those who choose to follow Christ. The life of Christian discipleship demands doing that which goes against our human nature, to love our enemies, to wish them good and not harm. How many times have we wished that we could get even with someone, to take vengeance on them? And Jesus says, no, love them. Do not wish harm to them. We may find ourselves saying to Jesus, "That's easy for you to say, Lord." For we know how difficult it is to live out that instruction. Loving our enemies is a nice philosophical treatise, but one that often sticks in our craw when we attempt to put it into practice. We may know with our heads what we're supposed to do, but it's so hard with our hearts to follow that instruction. Perhaps many of you know this to be true from personal experience, and maybe a few of you, your enemy has at times been a person sitting in a pew in front or behind you or across the aisle from you. Just because we all claim Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior does not mean that we agree on everything. We are human, and humans often do not think or feel the same way about everything. That's part of what makes us unique creatures, special creations from God. If this is the case, that your adversary, has been part of the church family, then conversation was probably very difficult. Shared activities were perhaps at times contentious, and bitter feelings of ill will may have brewed into a sour swill. Perhaps some of us are feeling that way today towards someone who is called a Christian sister or brother. If you find yourself in that type of situation, you may prefer to avoid rather than encounter that person. Engaging with this person may become a learning experience for you. You may find yourself drawing closer to Christ when you realize that this adversary, this enemy, shares the same broken bread and cup from the Lord's table at our communion services. He or she also is a child of God, a son or daughter of the Most High. Perhaps in their own way, they are also a saint. The Chinese festival to honor the dead is a traditional time more than 2,500 years old to honor the memory of ancestors. It is known as the Pure Brightness Festival and focuses on the sun and spring and the hope that is to come, not on the dark things typically associated with death. We can choose to see blessings or woes, and both are at hand. Where we focus our energy is up to us. But a word of caution I have for those who may attempt to take all of Jesus' advice literally. I think we would be misunderstanding Jesus' point if we did so, if we took everything exactly word for word. It seems to me that Jesus is not encouraging us to enable robbery or to ignore injustice. It may also be more Christ-like to give a word of admonition to fraudulent beggars, or to offer food and encouragement to those begging for money who are actually attempting to feed an addiction to drugs or alcohol. Verse 31 of Luke chapter 6 is a key verse because it offers to others what you most want. Jesus tells us, offer to others what you most want. Perhaps giving away what you most need. It's often true that living the golden rule is the most saint-like, the most Christ-like choice any of us can make. If a saint is someone through whom one witnesses Christian discipleship, what better expression of faith than to serve and work for others' well-being in Jesus' name? We're all saints, but we're also all sinners. And being a saint is not easy. To paraphrase Jesus' words of blessing for us today, blessed are you whose spirit aches, for your pain leads you to the source of comfort. Blessed are you who long for something more, for you see beyond the vision of those distracted by riches. Blessed are you who know you need God, for you are closer to truth than those preachers who preach motivation with flattery and popularity. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is God's kingdom, not a place or a land, but a condition of being. To live in the kingdom of God is to live in the truth that no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from God. In life, in death, and in life beyond death, God is with us, and we are not alone. Thanks be to God for this truth, this part of our faith that enables us to go on in our daily living. And let us pray together. Lord, there is a little bit of saint in each of us and a little bit of sinner. And you know this already. This day we pray that saint may edge out sinner, that we may find ourselves stretched toward you and not pushed away. We pray that we may become all that you made us to be, and that you may give honor to our creation. We pray that we not become holier than thou, so much as holy, that we become the best that we can be. Stay with us, O God. Do not go far away. Keep your Holy Spirit nearby. Prepare us now as we prepare to eat and drink together in Christ's name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is For All the Saints, number 685, and we'll be singing verses 1 and 4 only.
As previously mentioned, we received two offerings on Communion Sunday. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading of our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in the prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of our church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of the faithful and evangelical mission during us, and for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the table. And as the host, Jesus invites us each time with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins, that I was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements, for Jesus invites all believers to his table in this congregation. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to the table, we appreciate your invitation. And as we come, we know that we have not earned a seat around this table. It is only through your grace and your mercy. We come as sinners, Lord, not as saints, but as sinners. And in these moments, Lord, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do ask that you would forgive us of our sins. Prepare us now to eat and drink together. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. As Jesus went to the upper room that night to share the last meal with his disciples, it was a Passover meal, remembering and commemorating the celebration of the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus took the bread from the table, gave thanks to God, and then began breaking it. And he told his disciples these new words that they were not expecting to hear. This bread is my body that's broken for each of you. Whenever you eat it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Christ's broken body, broken so that we may be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God for the cup, he began passing it among his disciples, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed for us sinners. Lord, we pray that through this time together, that we may become a little more saint-like, that we may follow you more closely, that we may obey your teachings. Lord, we await the day when you will call us home to be reunited with our loved ones and become a saint for you in heaven. Until that day, help us to live faithful lives here on earth. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn this morning is Sent Forth by God's Blessing, number 782. We're singing verse one only. Jesus Christ has given us the commandments to love God and love our neighbors. So let us go forth today and spread the good news of love to all people. Sing a song of the saints of God forever. Amen.